Hi, everybody. Hi, welcome to Core Life Spiritual Weather Report. It's August 21st of 2021. And this is Brad Laughlin, and I'm here in the United States. And my beloved life partner, Leslie, is in South Africa. And we're gathering at a very auspicious time this month because it's a full moon happening right now. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but it peaked just a few hours ago. So even if you're listening to this in the future, the full moon energies last for a few days, so it still applies. But let's remember that full moons bring light to the darkness. So this is a really good time to remember that the shadow side is being illuminated right now. And it's easier to see the unconscious aspects of ourselves and the unconscious aspects of the collective and to make them conscious. So that's what we're going to be doing today, shining a light on some of these shadow aspects and creating a healing around all that. When I meditated on what to talk about today, there were a few specific topics that I got. And the first one is death and rebirth, or endings and beginnings. Second one is what has been hidden is becoming more visible. The third one is surrendering and letting go and walking on our faith. It's happening more than ever right now. The fourth is transmuting fear and choosing love. And there's a new exercise that I'll share at the end of the call about that. So if you hang in to the end, there'll be something new for everybody. And before we go any further, I just wanted to acknowledge all of our friends in California. I know so many people in the Core Light community are there in California, at least, you know, many on the West Coast, especially California. So just we're very aware of the fires that are happening there. And the extreme heat there and on the whole West Coast and the Western states. But I want to just put out to the circle today that we'll, in our prayer and our meditation, we'll be saying some special prayers for the devastation of the fires in California. So before we get started, I just also a few little housekeeping things. I just wanted to first thank you all for participating in Leslie's birthday celebration. As you recall, she turned 75 on August 12th, and we had a very powerful, beautiful meditation, a rolling meditation across the globe, and I could feel you all there. It was just great to be in meditation together, and I also want to thank you for your donations. We did a fundraiser for our humanitarian arm, Seeds of Light, which supports marginalized communities and AIDS orphans in South Africa, and it was in honor of Leslie's birthday because sacred activism is one of her passions, and you know, we co-founded Seeds of Light over 20 years ago now. So anyway, I just wanted to thank you and let you know that the fundraiser was a big success, and if you'd still like to donate, it's not too late. You can go to seedsoflight.org and make a donation if you want to do that. Also, just to underscore, if you've been getting the emails, we sent out a series of emails for Leslie's birthday celebration, and several of them were highlighting some new web pages on our website and some new short little videos that we made to celebrate Leslie's birthday. So if you go to thecorelight.org, if you go to our homepage, you'll see a new welcome video there. And you can go to the Prayer Circles page and find a new video there. And also, we've got a new interspecies communication page, and you can find a new video there. So those have been a lot of fun to create, and I just want to invite you to check them out if you haven't had a chance to yet. Lastly, just a reminder that I'll be offering an event with our friend Leslie's and my longtime friend and colleague, Anna Breitenbach. It's called For the Love of Animals, A Call to the Heart, and it's September 22nd through October 31st. And we announced this about a week and a half ago, and you can go to our website to find out about it. It's posted on many different pages, on the events page, the courses page, and the interspecies communication page, and you can find it there pretty easily. So just in case you're new and you don't know Anna, she is an interspecies communicator, and her work became really well known around the world when there was a film about her work that went viral a few years ago. It's called The Animal Communicator, and you might have seen it online. And this is something that I'm not sure if all of you know or not, but that movie was made by Craig Foster. And Craig Foster is the man who won the Oscar this year for the best documentary for My Octopus Teacher. So if you haven't had a chance to see My Octopus Teacher, or you haven't seen The Animal Communicator yet, I highly recommend them both. They're extraordinary films. And The Animal Communicator is free on YouTube, and My Octopus Teacher is on Netflix. They're not hard to find. And so we've been friends with Anna for a very long time, and Anna and I decided to offer this course because, gosh, for years we've been talking about the amount of fear and separation that's happening on our planet, and especially in the last year and a half. And so we've wanted to offer an antidote. We've wanted to offer a way into love and connection over fear and separation. And so we felt like, well, you know, everyone's love of animals is a great way to do that. And so the course is going to be an exploration of developing that deep inner peace and the quiet mind and the simple way of connecting that brings joy. If you're not sure if you want to attend the course, we're offering a free webinar. We recorded a free 45-minute webinar, and that's going to be released sometime soon. I think it's at the end of August, sometime after August 28th. So if you want to be on the lookout for that, and you can enjoy that whether or not you decide to join the course or not. But I'm just super excited about it. I'm so pleased about the way the course came out. And you'll see if you go to the website, it's just really beautifully done. It's beautifully presented, and I think the material is pretty special. We're not aware of anybody else offering material like this, where we combine our two expertise, where we combine the Core Light teachings with Anna's amazing interspecies communication teachings. So again, that's September 22nd through the end of October. And if you're not able to join during that specific window, you can still join the course, because the replays of all the modules and the live Q&A calls and all of that, they're going to be available through mid-December. And all of the guided meditations and home practices and everything in the course, those are downloadable, so you can keep them forever. So you don't have to be available on the exact times of the course. It's there for quite a while, 3 months roughly. So please join us. And I want to welcome everybody who's new to Core Light. I'm aware we do have quite a few new people joining, so welcome to you. And also, as always, a big welcome to our old friends and longtime Core Lighters. In case you're one of the new people, this is just a quick rundown of how these calls work. I start by offering a guided meditation, and then I'll speak about the prevailing energies that are affecting us, and also about the spiritual principles that are most helpful for us. And then there's time for questions and answers. And if you're on the web call, you can type in your questions on the Q&A board. And I'm sorry if you're calling in by phone, that's not possible. But also, you can always email us questions or sharing in advance. And you can email courses@corelight.org. And what's been happening lately is that the questions on the Q&A board get answered on the next month's call, because we usually run out of time or for various reasons. So we always close our sessions with a brief guided meditation or a prayer, whatever we have time for. And the calls are roughly 2 hours. And I know some of you can't stay that long, so if you need to jump off, you can always listen to the recording later. We send out the link to our email list, and we also post it on YouTube. All right, so without further ado, let's get started with our guided meditation. And I invite you to get comfortable and relax. Close your eyes. Take a few long, slow, deep, cleansing breaths. Just let go. Just relax. As you breathe, and as you let go, you can feel that there is a transmission with our calls. My life partner, Leslie, overlights these calls, and there's a transmission of healing energy that comes through. So we invite you to just receive. And nobody's doing anything to you. There's nothing like that happening. It's just a beautiful healing energy that's present. And when you relax and let go, you naturally receive this beautiful transmission of healing energy that's available to you if you should want it. And whether you're with us live today or listening to the recording later, it doesn't matter. We're all part of this field. We're all connected. And as quantum physics tells us, time and space don't really exist except in 3D. So as you breathe and as you relax and let go, we invite you to tune into these other levels of reality beyond time and space, where we all connect in the heart and in love, in the one mind. So just continuing to breathe and relax and let go, breathing in the light that surrounds you. All that beautiful life force, you can visualize it as sparkling diamond white light, golden light. Breathe it in. Breathing out any stress or tension that your body might be holding on to. Breathing in this present moment. Breathing out any worries about the past or the future. Just letting go. Feeling a deep sense of peace inside, a deep calm that happens through the breathing. As we breathe, there's a physiological response to the long, slow, deep breathing. It's the vagus nerve that runs from the brain all the way down the center of the body. It's a very long nerve complex that stretches out into many different parts of the body. It's what causes that beautiful tingly feeling you have when you do long, slow, deep breathing. And it relaxes the body. There's a physiological response of relaxing the body. So just continue the breathing and give yourself this gift of this present moment to let everything else go. This is your time for your spiritual journey. So just enjoy it. It is a gift to have time to just be, to just be still and relax and receive. It's one of the most precious gifts in our busy world. I think we forget how important relaxation is, and it's why we spend some time at the beginning of these calls focusing on deep relaxation, because relaxation is the foundation of the enlightening of our consciousness. The relaxation brings a deep peace. And the deep peace makes so much possible. Including our mystical experiences, our awakening experiences. So let's do a scan of the body from head to toes, relaxing all of the muscles. And so just, I invite you to feel a warm, viscous liquid like honey pouring over the top of your head, relaxing all the muscles that it touches. Feel it pouring over your whole scalp, your forehead, and your face, relaxing all the muscles of your head. Feeling your eyes relax so much that the eyeballs just fall right back into their sockets. Feeling the nose and the cheeks and the mouth and the ears all relaxing and letting go. And let's focus for a moment on the jaw and the back of the tongue. Just feeling the deep warmth and relaxation enveloping those areas. Allowing the teeth to separate slightly. Just letting your jaw hang a little bit. Feeling the back of the tongue relax, which relaxes that whole region of the back of the head and the neck and the shoulders. Deeply, deeply letting go as this warm honey pours over you. Feel it pouring over your neck and shoulders, your arms, all the way down your arms, relaxing all the muscles to your hands and fingers. Relaxing your torso, chest, upper back. Just melting all the muscles as the honey flows down your body, relaxing the abdomen and the lower back. Allowing it to pour over the pelvis and relax those muscles. The psoas muscles hold a lot of tension, and they're the ones that run down the front of the hips, on the right and the left. Just feel that pelvic area letting go and relaxing. Remembering your breathing, breathing in the light, breathing out the tension. And feel the warm honey pouring over your legs, upper legs, front and back. Knees, lower legs, front and back, ankles, feet, and toes. Deeply, deeply relaxing and letting go. While you continue to breathe, I'll be quiet for a few moments and let's all scan our bodies again from head to toes. Just allowing any tension that we might still be holding on to anywhere in the body to release and let go. You can breathe light into those areas and breathe out the stress. So such a beautiful feeling to just let go and relax and just be. So while you relax and continue your breathing, I invite you, if you feel moved, to just say inwardly, I am. I am. I am. Just being aware of your essence at your core, that essence of who you truly are, which is the I am. So let's put our attention there on the core of the body. And this is a place that actually exists in the subtle physical body, known in Sanskrit as the Sushumna. In English, we call it the core, and it looks like a radiant tube of light that runs from right down the center of the body, right in front of the spine, all the way from top of the head down to the root chakra at the base of the spine. It actually extends above the head and down below the base of the spine, outside the body as well. But for right now, let's just focus on the part that's in the body. Let's all put our attention on that core, or in Sanskrit, the Sushumna. Just feel it there. Feel that beautiful tube of golden white light. It's actually shaped like the letter I, long and straight, the I am. You just put your attention on that place. It's okay if this might be new to you and you're not feeling it. You can just visualize it, and that's enough. And eventually, if you practice it, you will be able to feel it. So feel that core, that I am of the core of that tube of golden white light that runs down the center of the body. And then bring your attention all the way to the bottom of it, at the base of the spine, the perineum. And that is where the root chakra resides. So feel how, when you put your attention there, the root chakra naturally relaxes and opens. And let's drop the Sushumna down into the earth. It's your grounding cord. And go feel it go down into the earth. Take it as far as you can, all the way down to the center of the earth, if you're able, and connect it with the core of the earth. Just feeling how beautifully grounded we are when we do this. Feel the gentle pull of gravity pulling you towards the earth, and feel Mother Earth supporting you from beneath. In the form of the chair or the floor, so you can just relax into her embrace. Let go into the arms of the mother, like a little baby would let go into the arms of its mother. Just relaxing, completely letting go. So you become aware that you're sitting in a column of light. It encompasses your body, and that column of light goes all the way down into the earth. The core of that column is the Shishumna, the core of the body. Just be aware. Of this beautiful column of light. And then draw the energy of the earth back up into your body through the soles of your feet or through the root chakra or both. Filling yourself up with this beautiful, grounded energy. And feel it moving up the core. All the way up to the heart. All the way up to the throat. All the way up to the top of the head. And feel how when you put your attention up at the top of your head, the crown chakra naturally opens. And it's okay, again, if you're new and you're not feeling this, it's totally fine. It's normal. You can just visualize it. It's still happening whether we're feeling this, whether we're aware of it or not. This is happening at another level. So the crown chakra sits on the top of the head like a crown that a king or a queen would wear. And you can visualize it opening up and out like a funnel on the top of your head. And so let's send that core of light out the top of the head, out into formless space, as the crown chakra opens. The crown chakra is also called the thousand-petaled lotus. So you can feel it and visualize it on the top of your head like a lotus flower opening up, unfurling its petals one by one. Just feel the crown chakra opening up and send your core of light, your I am energy out into formless space, connecting with the celestial realms. And you might find that you connect with a star or a galaxy, or group of heavenly beings. Just see where your Shishumna goes. Let it take you there. And just don't overthink it. Just allow it to happen. Just feel it. Just be with it. Let it be what it is. And again, if you're not experiencing this, that's totally fine. You can just visualize whatever you like. For me, it's usually a spiral galaxy. And then feel and visualize the energy of that celestial entity pouring down into you, universal energy. On the universal source. If it's a group of heavenly beings, you might feel their hands at the top of your head pouring light down into you. Just feel this beautiful light pouring down into you. You can give it a color if you like. Maybe it's golden white or sparkly diamond white light. Feel it filling you up, filling up your aura and your body. Filling you up from head to toes. Feel it filling up your arms all the way down to your hands and fingers so much that the light starts to shoot out your fingertips. Filling up your legs and feet so much that the light shoots out the tips of your toes. And now let's put our attention again on the core in the body. That beautiful luminous core, that tube of light that runs in front of the spine from head to root, crown to root. Feel your I am essence. And feel how your physical body is the center point between heaven and earth. And you can just feel yourself suspended in space. Very light, buoyant, free, filling up with light and energy and love. This white light that we're feeling is love. Transmission that comes in these meditations is pure love. And I invite you to repeat inwardly if you feel moved to. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can say after me. I am love. I am love. I am love. As you hold this beautiful space, I'll say a prayer and an invocation for our call today. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are. We invite in all of the guides and the teachers and the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. We ask that you please wrap us up in a cocoon of beautiful golden white light and love and healing energy. Guide our conversation into the highest love and the highest wisdom. And hold our hands as we walk this path into our soul's highest purpose, this incarnation on earth, especially during these times of great change. And we offer our thanks, our deep gratitude for the love and the blessings that we receive, and for this time that we share together, for these precious moments to stop and be and receive. We give thanks for these beautiful bodies that we wear for a few years, on loan from us, from Mother Earth. We give thanks for this beautiful planet, this precious, fragile blue planet. What a gift to be incarnated here at this amazing time, this pivotal moment in human evolution. We're so grateful. Grateful for the experiences, grateful for the growth opportunities. Grateful for the beauty of this place. Grateful for all the gifts that we receive. Grateful for the lessons we learn and the soul evolution we receive from being here. So we say a special prayer now before we begin our conversation. Special prayer for Mother Earth. We send our light and our love to her body, the body of Gaia, which is struggling. We send special prayers for healing and light and love to California, where the fires are happening and the extreme heat all around the western area of the United States. And if you're not from the United States and there's something happening in your country that is a challenge right now, I invite you to silently just put that into our sacred circle right now, and we'll hold it in prayer. I'd also like to pray for South Africa. It's going through a very challenging time at the moment. A lot of unrest. Blessings to all the people on Earth who are sick, all those who have lost loved ones. Blessings to those whose country is in war, those who are experiencing hunger, pain of any kind, homelessness, illness, trauma. Blessings to this beautiful planet and to all the life forms, humans, and the rest of the natural world. We send our light, we send our love. And again, we give thanks. Alalaho. So as we complete this guided meditation, I invite you to just stay meditative, even though we're going to start talking now. You can still remain meditative throughout the call because the transmission of healing energy happens throughout the call. So the more meditative and still you can be, the better. I know most people need to multitask, and that's fine. Maybe just try to pause every once in a while and remember to get quiet and still and allow this beautiful transmission of healing energy to come in. You know, it's funny, we talk and talk and talk on these calls. the truth is, way more important than the talking, than the information that comes forward, is the transmission of energy. So really, receive. Give yourself the gift of receiving at this time. We forget. We get so busy doing, you know, our doers think we have to receive a lot of information and we have to keep working and doing and being productive, and it's such a yang way of being in the world. And, you know, that's just the way of our world right now. But we need to come into balance with the yin, with the feminine side, with the opportunity to stop and be still and to receive. Equally as important, equally as powerful as the yang side, as the doer, the one who thrives on outer productivity. There's an inner productivity with the feminine, with the yin. It's equally as important. So I invite you to remember that yin side today and receive and be still. So when you feel ready, you can slowly start to move your hands and feet, and wiggle them, and stretch if you want to. Oh! And then when you're ready, slowly open your eyes. Wow. Well, we have a great group today. It's a large group. Usually there are several hundred people who tune in live and listen in the future. So we're all in this together now, all around the world. We're creating this beautiful web of light around the world. And I just love this time with y'all. It's so much fun to connect and know that we're all over the globe. And that we are the family of light. We are connected to each other through this core of light. You know, the truth is there's only one core of light. There, it looks like for 8 billion people on the planet, there are 8 billion cores of light. And it looks that way, but that's not the truth. The truth is there's only one. And that's not a metaphor. That's literal. And I know it is paradoxical, so the mind has trouble comprehending it. But that is the truth. I remember Leslie used to tell me this 30 years ago, because I always thought it was figurative or metaphorical. And she would say, no, this is literal. And I've since come to feel that. You know, when you tune in, if you tune into that core energy, you can really feel that there is the one core that we all share. So throughout the call, I invite you to tune into that and receive that beautiful energy from the core, from the one mind, the one heart, the one being that we all are. So our topics for today, let's go ahead and get started. We have there's a lot I'd like to share with you. Excuse me while I sip some water. Intensity and acceleration. Can you feel that? It's just continuing. We say this every month, but wow, it's true. And it's just a time of massive change. I wanted to talk a little bit about death and rebirth because that seems to be one of the themes. We're in this time where a lot of people are experiencing new beginnings as well as endings, great accomplishments, completions. You know, this is the cycle. This is why we come here for this change. Earth is about change upon change upon change, and it includes death and rebirth. So I've received more calls and emails from people this past month than in a very long time, asking what the heck is going on, because people are starting to feel this intensity more now than ever before. And you know, lots of breakdowns and breakthroughs. So, for example, if you're experiencing this at all, it might look like dramas in relationships, like with families or friends or with your partners. It might be with your physical health or your finances or at work. If you're experiencing anything like I'm describing, it's really important to remember that nothing is wrong and that these challenges that we face, they always bring a gift and an opportunity with them. And as soon as we're through that extreme challenge, that point of extreme challenge, and as soon as our reaction to it has cleared a little bit, we start to learn from the experience and we start to see it from a more detached place and a more neutral perspective. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But I just also want to say, if you're not experiencing this, if there's nothing wrong with you if you're not experiencing this, it's okay as well that you may be just having a mild version of what I'm describing. And if that's the case, or if you're not experiencing any kind of push at all, not too much change at all, consider yourself blessed and just enjoy it because you're the rare one. So I can also, I know that it's been a very productive time. There's been this huge wave of yang energy that's been moving with us for maybe a couple of months or so. It's been flowing around the planet, and we've been using it to get things done. And I wonder if you've noticed that. There's been a significant energy for moving our projects forward. Great time for creative expression. Taking steps forward in whatever you've needed to get done in your life. And for people, most people, it looks different. It can look different than we could have ever imagined. Sometimes it's this massive change in a direction that you couldn't predict, and it might be something that's taken away from you suddenly, or it might mean like you could just couldn't keep going in the same direction for some reason. And if you're in a situation like that, it's really important to practice surrendering and just being flexible, just being okay with whatever's happening. Because if we fight against the changes and the energy that's moving, we're wasting our time, we're wasting our energy, we're wasting our resources. And in those cases, we tend to feel victimized. If we're fighting against the direction we're being directed towards, we feel victimized and we waste all those precious resources. So, like, I'll give you an example. I had some friends who were in the tech world, self-employed, and they lost their internet. And they thought it was just going to be a day or two, and it actually went on and on and on, and it went on for weeks. And so this could have looked like a total disaster, but instead of fighting it and instead of making out as a disaster, they did workarounds so that they could take care of their clients and get their basic work done. But they used the opportunity to get a lot of other work done, some stuff that had been hanging around in the background for a long time, but stuff that didn't need the internet. They even took a vacation. And so in the end, it was clear that this was a great opportunity, and it was a gift that was handed to them for whatever reason. You know, nobody really knows why these things happen in the beginning. Usually that's shown later. But they could have felt victimized. They could have made it a disaster. But it turned out to be this really wonderful thing. And they've come out of it feeling caught up, and they've had this vacation feeling very relaxed and energized. So I give you that example just so that you can see how it's possible to cope with these things. And I know, you know, most of you have been on the path for a very long time, and this is just a reminder, but this is what's happening right now. So if you've forgotten that or it's new to you, I'm here to just remind you about it. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes here. So emotional clearing. There's a lot of emotional clearing and catharsis that's happening right now. All of these changes, all of the dramas are giving us an opportunity to release and to let go of all this old baggage. And like I said, we don't even necessarily know what this is. Sometimes we're conscious of it. Sometimes we're not. And especially right now, I can tell you a huge number of people, and I include myself in this, we're clearing so much stuff that we don't even necessarily know what it is. It's definitely not all personal. We may think it's personal. It may feel personal, but it's not necessarily. There's just a huge amount more than meets the eye right now. We're clearing a lot of collective stuff as well as our personal stuff. Collective meaning, the consciousness of the planet. The collective is just a group of individuals. So what applies to an individual also applies to the planet, since we're just a group of individuals. So what happens is each of us have the capacity to siphon off from the collective what we could call the shadow, the negativity, whatever, there are many names for it, but whatever you want to call it, we each have that capacity to siphon it off and to transmute it through ourselves. And this is a gift that we offer the planet. So some people do that a lot and they're conscious of it, and you may not be conscious of it at all, but it's helpful to know that this is what's happening. It happens a lot in our sleep, actually. But in addition to all the personal stuff that we're aware of, and in addition to the collective siphoning that we do, there's also these other levels of what's called ancestral clearing, or clearing from your lineage. So you might be clearing karmas or traumas from your ancestors that's been passed down to you, and you may be having an overreaction to something that you're not understanding why that is, and it could be because you're clearing ancestral karmas right now, and your own past life karmas as well. So all these things play into what's happening. And as I said, it's helpful to know that this is what's happening, because otherwise we feel alone. And we tend to we feel like we're going insane. Some of the people who contacted me were seriously ready to go see a doctor and, you know, get themselves examined for some very serious issues. Just said, no, wait, that's not what it's about right now. I mean, if you feel to go to a doctor, definitely go. I actually did. I actually went to a doctor. I had, I confess, true confessions here. I had scans done of my body. I had urine tests, blood tests, all the different tests done. And the doctor came back and said, "Wow, well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. You're healthy. You're like a young person." So I speak from experience, and I know others for whom this is true as well. So body issues, a lot of us are experiencing these body issues, and I've just been really diligent about doing my self-care, and we talk about this almost every month, so I'm not going to dwell on it, but acupuncture, chiropractic, massage, doing your inner clearing work mentally, emotionally, energetically, all the things we know to do that feed us, going into nature, whatever, dancing, singing, all the different things that we love that feed us, so critical right now for our physical health, our mental health, and so forth. And for me, the physical issues that I was having are improving every day. And so I feel like there's, you know, it peaks. And then, you know, I was going to say it's downhill from there, but that has two meanings, so let's say it a different way. You know, things just improve after you peak. After the pain or whatever you're experiencing peaks, you get improvement. And I know that this is true for other people as well. So we don't feel so alone when we know that it's not just us and that there's this bigger picture. We realize that all of us are going through big changes, and that it's all a part of our spiritual growth. So knowing this helps us to cope with the intensity and the changes. And with the death and the rebirth process that we're going through right now, many people are grieving. And for some people, it feels more intense and kind of out of what might seem, beyond what might seem normal, beyond what the issue might seem like it deserves. So if you've got some kind of loss and you're grieving, it's important to remember that grieving is never just about the present time grief. Whenever we experience grief, a door opens for us to transmute all these other levels of grief that we've experienced before. So it can also be a door opening to help us transmute the grief of the ancestors, or maybe some kind of collective grief. Like I said, you don't really know sometimes what you're releasing, how much of it's yours, how much of it's present time, how much of it is something else completely. But if you're not aware of this, you can start to feel like you're going a little bonkers. So important to remember, as I said, nothing is wrong. Everything's perfect. Even if it looks like a disaster, there's always some perfection to it. There's some reason that we need the experience. Whenever there's pain, there's always something to learn from. So it's important to remember the difference between pain and suffering. And you know, there's that old saying that pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. You've heard that before. So suffering is when we choose to hold on to the pain. We let our minds run with it. We believe something's terribly wrong. And that's victim consciousness. And if we reframe that, if we look at this differently, if we look at our painful experiences with a reframe, we can let go of the suffering. We can step out of the victim consciousness into that place where we're ready to learn from the experience. And that's the key. It's practicing what we call witnessing or observing neutrally. And if you're new to Core Light, this is something that we touch on almost every month, so I'm not going to go into it here for the sake of all the people who already know. But if you want to learn more about the practice of witnessing, you can check out our book, Marriage of Spirit. There's a whole chapter on the witness, and that is one of the most simple and one of the most powerful tools that we can ever have on the spiritual journey. So I highly recommend that if you're not familiar with it. And it's the practice of a very ancient technique, actually. There's nothing new. There's nothing fancy. This is ancient, and it's talked about by all the enlightened masters throughout time. It's a practice that includes things like being neither attracted nor repulsed, neither believing nor disbelieving, holding the tension between two sides of a polarity, just being with what is right in front of us. So let's shift gears. I wanted to talk a little bit about what was hidden is becoming more visible. And I wonder if you've noticed that. Have you noticed that what was hidden is becoming more visible? I'm aware of a lot of people who were asleep to hidden agendas, to the unconscious, and people are awakening more than ever before to these things, becoming conscious of them for the first time. And so this is going to continue. It's going to continue for a while, but especially for the next few months. And the light is shining so brightly now that it is illuminating more and more of the shadow for everyone to see. And again, that's going to continue. It's our destiny as humans, as a species, to illuminate these shadow aspects in the world and in our own consciousness. And if you missed the beginning of the call, right at the beginning, I mentioned that today is the full moon. It peaked literally just a few hours ago. So this is a really auspicious time for us to be gathering, because full moons bring light to the darkness. It's a really good time to remember that the shadow side is being illuminated. It's easier to see the unconscious aspects of ourselves and of the collective and make them conscious at a time like this. And so that's what we're doing today on the call. We're shining a light on some of these shadow aspects, and we're creating healing. So we'll be getting into that a little bit more. So it's about the path of making the unconscious conscious. And that's the path that leads to the awakening of the heart. And that's where we're moving as a collective, into the heart, into love, into knowing that we are love. And that's how we learn to embody love more and more. And when we shine a light on the shadow, we have the opportunity to process what was unconscious before and to release it and let it go. And we're freed up. We can let go of the baggage and move into the heart. And so the shadow that we're seeing arising in the world is an essential component of the journey that we're all on right now. And I know it can seem overwhelming. I'm getting lots of calls and emails about what's going on in the world right now. So take heart. You know, if you're feeling that, you're not alone. I think it's especially important right now that we all recognize that we're being encouraged to feel afraid and to separate. I know most of you know this, so this is going to be a reminder, but I feel like we do need to talk about this. Recognizing that we're in a massive wave of fear being encouraged. And I know many of you who've been on this path with CoreLight for a long time have very strong witnesses, and you're not buying into it, which is great. But I know it's enticing. It's like, you know, fear is contagious. And so this is the perfect time to practice witnessing. If you're getting stirred up, especially by the media, it's designed to do that. It's designed to inflame us and to make us emotional, super emotional, and to polarize us and divide us. And it's always been there, but it's on steroids now, if you haven't noticed. And sadly, it's about dividing families and longtime friends. I mean, I know we're all experiencing this. And the special focus for a while now has especially been about dividing those who've had the vaccine and those who haven't. And I know that this is very painful for a lot of people because it's brutally hard. There's a lot of fear around it. There's a lot of anger around it. And the situation that we're in is not rational. It's not logical. This is an emotional situation. So I think the more we're aware of that, the better we cope with it. We can't fight the situation with logic because it's not logical. So to be aware that it's an emotional situation is important. And that's why practicing the witnessing is so important right now. And again, that's just observing your emotions. It's just watching them pass through and remembering that that's not who we are. You know, we feel them, we express them, we let them pass through, we let them go. And with the witnessing, we remember that we are that I am. We're that pure light, that pure awareness, pure love. And that's our true nature. So more people are waking up to this knowledge, and more people are having experiences of this. And we're starting to embody that knowledge more and more. I don't know if you're having the experience I am, but I'm finding my meditations really deepening profoundly. If you can get past the busyness, the busy mind, and if you can quiet down the noise, you can go very deep right now. So this is a great time to deepen your meditation practice and all of those self-care practices. It's a great time to deepen those practices right now. No better time than right now. So I have down here self-care, but we talk about that all the time, so I'm not going to talk about it. It's like flossing your teeth. It has to be part of our routine. We have to do it. You know, we take care of our physical body. It's just an essential practice right now, and this is a gift that we give the world by taking care of ourselves now more than ever. So also I wanted to talk about surrendering and letting go. It's never a better time than right now to practice that. And I know countless people who are walking on their faith into the unknown in a whole new way. And if you've been on a spiritual path for any amount of time, you've probably done this before, but it's at a whole new level now for so many of us. Leslie calls it skywalking. And she named it that after Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. If you recall the story, he's the one that learned to trust the Force, quote unquote. And that's what we're doing, you know, learning to trust in the support of the invisible realms or the Force or whatever you want to call it. So practicing surrendering and letting go. it's important to mention, I think, right now that it can especially, well, it's about a lot of things. It's about letting go of anything that you're attached to. But right now, it can also be especially about letting go of people and relationships that you might have been attached to. And it doesn't necessarily mean that the relationship ends, even though it might. But it just means that you're not attached to it. And it's a freeing up of those attachments that we have to the old forms of relationship and allowing some new form to arise. And this may be something that's easier for some people, but I know it can be really hard depending on how attached we are to somebody. And if we're really enmeshed in a relationship, the loss of that old form can feel especially traumatic. And so we can be thrown into a full-blown crisis, and we can feel, you know, betrayal and victimization, and we grieve the loss, and it's, you know, a whole big drama. So if you're experiencing something like that, it's really important, especially important right now, to practice surrendering and letting go and detaching and witnessing all of those spiritual practices that we know. But I know one of the things that's happening to a lot of people lately is that relationships are changing around this vaccine issue. There's two sides, right? And I'm, just to be clear, I know this is a very, I entered this territory not lightly. I know this is a very contentious issue, and I'm not choosing sides. I'm just here to name something that's happening. You know, it's on both sides. So no matter what side a person is on of that argument, many people are trying to convince others of one way or the other, you know, either to get it or not get it. And have you noticed that almost everyone has already made up their minds? And so there's really there's really nothing you can do anyway to convince anybody of anything, no matter how much evidence you have. And if you try to convince someone who's on the other side of your opinion, it usually doesn't go very well. So, I mean, I'm laughing. It's funny at one level, and it's not funny at another. You know, it's very serious. It's hard. But I think we do need to laugh at this. It's a bit of a cosmic joke that, like, we're being set up, as we say. There's a spiritual setup happening. And, you know, if you've been on these calls for any length of time, at some point in the not-too-distant past, we've talked about, in one of the previous weather reports, we talked about how both sides have all the evidence they need to back up their opinion. And it's not both sides. There's, like, for 8 million people on the planet, there are 8 million sides. Excuse me, billion, sorry. And, you know, the evidence is there for every opinion, so everyone's right. Everybody's got the evidence to prove that they're right, and they've made up their mind. And it's making all of us feel a bit crazy. You know, it's really challenging to know right now what's true and what's not true. So this is a great time to practice using our intuition and our discernment. And it's more important to know about both sides and to come to your own conclusions and to be open, you know, to be open to something new, whatever that might be. There's no side, you know, of the 8 billion sides or the two sides, however you want to look at it. There's no one side, no one story that has a monopoly on the truth with this. There's some truth to everything. There's some truth to both sides of the polarity. And it's up to us to discern and intuit what that truth is. So again, it's a fantastic opportunity right now for strengthening those muscles, to strengthen the muscles of discernment and intuition. So, for example, can you feel, are you sensitive enough to be able to feel when something is propaganda that's designed to manipulate you? Can you feel that? Can you feel when something is a conspiracy theory that's designed to manipulate you. I'm asked, this isn't a rhetorical question. I'm asking you to look inside and see, where are you with that? How good are you at that? And if it's a manipulation, there's usually extreme emotion involved. There's usually some kind of fear or blame or anger or some kind of extreme that it's intended to like rile you up in some way, get you charged. So how good are you at feeling what's truth? And are you able to witness your emotions, like fear, for example, fear being the biggest one right now? And can you name them? And can you release them? Like, for example, where do you feel it in your body? Can you feel fear in your body? That's a really good practice, is to try to feel the emotions in your body. Where are you feeling on them, and what are they? Can you name them? Can you find them in your body? And if it's something that makes you feel extremely emotional in a negative way, like stirring up fear or anger, or anger can move into hatred even, or there's righteous indignation, or if something seems designed to encourage you to blame a certain group of people, like, for example, a political party or a political leader, or the vaccinated or the unvaccinated, or the mask wearers or the non-mask wearers, or a race or a religion or a sexual orientation or whatever it is, then that's when it's important to raise the red flag and to stop. Because if it's doing any of those things, then it's probably a manipulation of some kind. And in those instances, it's best to practice neither believing nor disbelieving, and holding the tension between the two sides of the polarity and allowing room for a third option to manifest. And that is always the transcendent option when we can do that, as Carl Jung spoke about. So I wanted to shift gears for a moment. And in past sessions, we've talked about the possibility that a puppet master exists on our planet, a metaphorical, like a quote-unquote man behind the curtain, a hidden person or maybe a group that controls both sides of the narrative. And I don't claim to know. Again, I'm not advocating anything here. I'm just like putting something on the table for us to examine and think about. But, you know, if you look at that possibility of a quote-unquote puppet master, you know, it would make sense in some ways, because what seems to be happening is that no matter who our world leaders are, no matter whether it's the liberals or the conservatives in power, the bigger agendas continue to march on regardless. So no matter what, we still have endless war. And we still have the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. We still have power and wealth becoming more concentrated amongst the few. We still have the environmental destruction that's going on unchecked. There's the slow creep of totalitarianism happening around the planet. So all of the arguing, you know, around which side should be in power, and all of the fighting about all the different polarities that we've been talking about, and I include the vaccinated, you know, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed, the masked and the unmasked, I include that in this. All of the divisions based on all those, you know, race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, all that stuff, so much of what we focus on seems to be a distraction from the most important issues. And so I want to be clear here as well. I'm not saying the other issues are unimportant. They are. Anything that affects people's freedoms, people's rights, people's abilities to pursue happiness, you know, that's all very important. And I'm also, I want to be clear, I'm not saying it doesn't matter who's in power and that we should all just give up. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if we're all distracted by these different crises, or whatever you want to call them, all the things that are always erupting, you know, the struggle to make sure our side is in power, all the different things that are going on, then we're not paying attention to these other agendas. And so those agendas of power and greed can move forward without scrutiny. And so I ask, this is a question for everyone. So how do we deal with a situation like this that seems so big and so far beyond our control? It seems overwhelming, and it makes us feel powerless and helpless and afraid. And I especially know that when we have this conversation, it can bring up fear. So I apologize if that's happening for you right now, if you're experiencing fear. It's not my intention to cause fear. And so if that's happening for you, I invite you to just take a few breaths right now. Just breathe and get into the witness. Get into your neutral observer and just name the fear and breathe through it. And remember that it's just a frequency. Fear is not real. Fear is just a vibration. So just name it and breathe it. Let it go. And come back into your center, into peace, into calm. And I invite you to just bear with me a little bit longer. Stay with me till the end of the call, because we're going to come to a resolution of this, and we're going to bring it all into love. There's even a new exercise that I'll show you at the end of the call that will help with all of this. So as we've talked about in previous sessions, it's really important to remember that the world is just a mirror of what's inside of us. Say that again. The world is just a mirror of what's inside of us. And I know this is a reminder for most of you on the call, but for some people that might be new. So the point of this is that if there were a puppet master outside of us, you know, the quote unquote man behind the curtain, so to speak, then he would be a mirror of the puppet master that's inside us. And that's the part of us that is in control of our own thoughts, our own decisions, our own actions, our own reactions. That's the part of us that's always choosing where to put our attention, how to focus our power. Like, for example, whether to choose love or fear, or peace or anger, and so forth. The puppet master inside us is the one who has the power to choose. It's our freedom of choice that we're looking at here. So I invite you to reframe the situation in this way. So the way to deal with the situation is to understand that our power comes from within us, and it is our spiritual power. It's sourced in spirit, it's by spirit, it is spirit, it's us, our spiritual power. And so whenever we get into, playing with earthly power or fearing the powers on earth, it's really important to remember that at that point, we are deeply immersed in the world of illusion. We have to remember the ultimate truth, which is that this beautiful planet that we live on, our fragile blue planet, and these beautiful, precious bodies that we get to wear, they're all just an illusion. They're not real. This is a play of light and shadow. This 3D physical reality is not who we truly are. And this is what all the mystics and the sages have told us, you know, since forever. And it's what quantum physics is telling us now. At one level of reality, what seems real to us in this physical world is actually just like a hologram. 99% space. You know, ones and zeros. And so one day, we drop these bodies like slipping off an overcoat, and we return to our true nature, which is spirit. We're souls. We're having a temporary human experience in a system of separation here in what's called schoolroom Earth. So remembering all of that is critical right now. So, you know, human beings are ultimately going to be free on this planet. Even though it doesn't look like it right now, that's the destiny of our planet and our species. That's where we're going. But we have to remember that freedom comes from within the self. I want to say that again, because that might be, if there's one takeaway from today's call, this might be it. And that is that freedom comes from within the self. We're all free to think whatever we want to think, and nobody can control that. Others may try to influence it, but ultimately, we're the ones who have the freedom to choose what we think and how we react to things. So, for example, you know, right now, with this massive undercurrent of fear in the world and the collective consciousness of the planet, and when there's a lot of fear running, it just makes people more susceptible to the challenges that are happening on the earth. So we can choose not to buy into the fear and to create our lives in a new way without the fear. And we can move into states of higher consciousness, greater love and light and healing. And in time, as more and more of us do this, the power structures of the world are going to begin to shift. They already are, but the old fear-based paradigm will crumble, and a new one, a love-based paradigm, is manifesting. And like I said, it's already happening. So, so many people are already in the process of waking up, and I'm sure you must be aware of that. You know, you can see it. Like, here we are at this magical time when so many people are awakening. And it doesn't take half the world to awaken to make a difference. It just takes a few. So anybody who has even a little bit of intelligence knows that with any path, there are many alternatives. In other words, there's many, many, many shades of gray in between the black and the white. But when people are in fear, their minds tend to collapse more into black and white thinking, and they don't see the alternatives. They only see their way and the opposite way. And that's where there's a tendency for this extreme polarization to happen, and more rigidity of thought, more extreme reactivity. And then all of this feeds into being more easily controlled. So you can see how this mirror principle works, right? If we clear the fear inside of us and we act more from love and fearlessness, then the outer world reflects that back to us. And we're not as easily controlled, and we have more freedom. And it's all a loop. It's all connected. So the inner is what determines the outer, not the other way around. And that's very important to remember in a situation like this. I'm just going to take a sip of water. Give me a sec. Thank you. So I wanted to talk about choosing love over fear and giving you a new exercise. So the number one gift that we can give the earth right now is to hold steady in love and not to fall into the fear. In all of the stuff that's going on, the pandemic, the conspiracy theories, the reactivities, you know, the new virus strain, and on and on and on, yada, 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 yada. I mean, all of this stuff, it just stirs up everybody's fears. So how do we keep our finger on the pulse of all of this stuff, so to speak, and not fall into a consciousness that corresponds with fear? How do we live in the world and track the events of the world, but not let our consciousness drop into these lower vibratory states. So this is it's a simple journaling exercise that we can do. And again, this is something new for everybody, even if you've been with Core Light a long time. We've never done this. So I'm going to just tell you about it. You can practice it on your own. So it's a scale that we create, a scale in consciousness. And we self-assess our journey, but we self-assess ourselves on the scale every day. And so you can write the scale, and you can keep a calendar in the back page of your notebook, or maybe on a spreadsheet on your computer, or however you like to do it. And the scale is from 1 to 10, where 1 is living in a constant state. Sorry, I'm laughing. It's not funny, but in a way it is. But because we're encouraged to do it. But it's where we're living in constant anxiety, constant worry, constant fear, usually acting out of negative emotions like anger, blame, victim consciousness, etc. And then 10 would be the opposite. 10 is being fearless and in a state of enormous love and deep peace and contentment and living all the time in the consciousness of the witness, neutrally observing all the time, maintaining joy, maintaining inspiration, no matter what's happening in the world. So that's the scale. And then when you do the exercise, you can focus on what's happening in your body and in your mind and in your emotions. So I'll give you an example. So like at number 1, which is, again, living in constant anxiety and worry and fear, there might be frequent panic attacks. Maybe the body feels very tense or rigid. And there might also be like a miserable feeling in the body. Maybe there's pain or a sense of quote-unquote dis-ease in the body, manifesting disease as a result of constant and extreme negative thinking and toxic emotions and so forth. And I have to say, I really hope nobody's at a 1. If you are, oh, I bless you. I have so much compassion for you because it's understandable, really, to be feeling toxic these days, to be feeling miserable. There's enough to feel toxic and miserable about. And so you have my compassion. But I think it's important that we all remember there's a way out. You know, if you find yourself down on that lower end of the scale, just remember there's a way out. And no matter where you are on the scale, we can always move up. We can always move up a notch or a few notches. And in fact, there's no reason that we can't all be living right up close to 10 or at least moving fast in that direction. So that's what we teach at Core Light. And I know most of you on this call, you've got your spiritual path that you're on, whether it's with Core Light or not. But, we offer teachings about how to live a life of fearlessness and love and peace and joy and all of those higher vibratory things. So no matter what the circumstances in life are, we can have that. And that's entirely possible to do. You know, all the great masters talk about that. It's not a fantasy. If you're new to Core Light, we call it the path of two things. We call it the path of self-discovery, but I was also going to say the path of self-inquiry. And that's where we learn to love those parts of us that are in need of healing. And then we use all of our spiritual tools to free us from those limitations and the negative thinking. And so just to come back to the scale, I'm just going to give you a few more examples of how the scale works, just to make this exercise clear. So let's say, for example, a 3 on the scale might be where you notice that you frequently worry and frequently act out of fear or negative emotions like anger, but not all the time. And maybe you're beginning to witness. And you can catch yourself sometimes in the act of feeling anxiety and fear and so on, and you can recognize that and let it go. And maybe you have some occasional panic attacks and you just feel like maybe a mild sense of constriction and the quote-unquote dis-ease in the body. And then a 5 on the scale might be where you find yourself able to witness about half of the time, and you still worry, and you get anxious, and you act out of fear sometimes, but you can also successfully choose fearlessness and love the rest of the time. So you might feel content. You might feel inspired half the time. You might feel a sense of peace in the body, a sense of ease in the body half the time. So that's 5. 7 or let's say 7 or 8, somewhere in there. That might be where you're not thinking negative thoughts very often. And when you do, you can catch yourself quickly and you can get back into the witness consciousness. And you rarely blame and you rarely judge and you rarely feel victimized. You can usually see the gift and the opportunity in a challenging situation pretty quickly. And you consciously choose love over fear most of the time. And you rarely worry, you rarely feel anxious, and you feel inspired and joyful a lot of the time. And you have a strong sense of contentment and ease in your body. So I wonder if I've just described most people on this call. I hope so. Just take a moment and see where you are on that scale. Excuse me. So the 10 we've already talked about, that's where we're fully established in an awakened and loving and joyful state all of the time. Fully established in the witness. We've learned to love whatever is manifesting in our lives. We see there's a perfection to everything. We live fearlessly. We fully express ourselves, our unique individuality in the world. We're creative. We get inspired, and the body feels energized and radiant. So I hope that's you. And if it's not, that's okay. You know, like I said, we can all move up the scale. So anyway, to come back to telling you about the exercise. So this is what we do. We ask ourselves every day, maybe every morning, where you perceive yourself on the scale, or you could do it at night before bed, depending on how you're, you know, see how your day was, scan through your day. So maybe that's the best time to do it is at the end of the day. Or you could do it both, beginning and end of the day. But you ask yourself each day where you perceive yourself on the scale, and you write that number into the calendar that you created. And then what you do is a vigil, like a focused spiritual practice, you know, with, like, for example, meditation and yoga and self-inquiry, or the work we do at Core Light, the processing work we do at Core Light, as we call it, or whatever works for you. But you do it for an amount of time that you choose. Like, for example, one of the sacred amounts of time is 40 days and 40 nights. So you could choose that, or you could choose a couple of months, or whatever you feel like. But you choose the time, and you do that exercise faithfully every day. And so you watch your consciousness, you're tracking yourself, and by the end of the time, you get to see how you've changed. And so I've found that this is a really excellent way to monitor how we're moving into the higher vibratory awareness and how well we're able to choose love over fear, for example. Because if we don't track it, it's difficult to sometimes know how well you're doing. You know, months can tick by and you're not aware of the change you've made from a few months ago. So I encourage this, I invite this, and I invite you to let me know how it's going. If you decide to do it, I'd love to hear your experience. Because I feel like the reason I'm sharing this with you, the reason I came up with this is because I feel like this is our spiritual responsibility to do our practices and ascend in consciousness and learn to maintain our love and to live fearlessly. This is critical right now when we're in such a pivotal time. You know, this is maybe, as I've said before, this is the most pivotal time in human evolution. It's this quantum leap in consciousness that we're all making from the third dimension into the fourth and fifth dimension, the love of power into the power of love, however you want to look at it, the paradigm of separation into the paradigm of the heart. So we maintain a frequency, we maintain a vibration that is above mass consciousness. That is our spiritual responsibility, to maintain that frequency above the mass consciousness. And if all of us who are on a spiritual, conscious spiritual path can't do this with all of our tools, what hope is there for the rest of the planet? I mean, really, you know. So this has got to be our emphasis right now. We have to put an emphasis on transmuting consciousness from fear into love, from worry into peace, from perception into knowing. Okay, so I could say more. I'm going to leave you with that. I just want to say a few words of conclusion, but that's it for the exercise. I hope that's helpful to you. I hope you like that. Please let me know. So to conclude for today, we've gone on for a long time, and I want to leave a little bit of time for the questions. We've got some excellent questions. So to wrap this up, so how do we do this? How do we navigate these times that we're in, where there's so much fear and there's so much propaganda and there's so much misinformation out there? How do we speak and act with love? How do we live fearlessly in what can only be called a surreal time? Some people call it a mass psychosis. Well, so first step is, we have to remember not to make any of this real. We have to remember the witness, to remember that the more energy that we give to something, the more real it appears in the earth plane. So the best antidote for all the thoughts and ideas and realities that we don't want to fuel is to withdraw our energy from them and to put it on whatever we want to create. And so when we do that, when we speak and act in a way that blesses the earth, when we speak and act in a way that is healing for the earth, speaking and living in truth, let's say, and in love, these things cannot be silenced. They can never be stopped. They can be manipulated, and you know, some people do attempt to manipulate those things. But ultimately, that's just not going to work because, well, for one thing, it's not our destiny. But also, as we all know, the dark cannot exist where there is light. It's impossible. It's a physical impossibility. So we create our reality by what we focus on. The best way to transmute something or to move it out of our vibratory frequency is to take our attention off of it and put it on what we want to build, what we want to expand. So I invite you, I invite all of us, let's take our attention off of anything that feels like a distraction, off of anything based in fear, off of anything that has a low vibration, and let's put our attention on what we want to grow and expand. Let's put it on heart-centeredness and love and truth. So it's a time where we're getting so many opportunities, everybody, each of us, sometimes many times a day, to choose where we're going to walk. Are we going to walk in fear or in love? Are we going to walk with spirit or are we going to believe in the density of the earth? So let's all practice being the examples of what we want for the new earth. And it is possible to do this. We can free ourselves from the fear. We can live in love. So let's trust in our highest path. And let's stand strong in our joy. And that's the greatest gift that we can give the earth right now. That's our spiritual awakening. As Leslie always said, the greatest gift that we can give the earth is our own spiritual awakening. So if this talk today has brought up issues for you, or if it has felt controversial, or if you have some kind of different perspective, I invite you to write to me. I'd love to hear from you. Ask me questions. We can discuss it at the next Spiritual Weather Report in September. Please let me know how you're doing and what you feel about all this. I'd love to know. Again, it's courses@corelight.org. Okay, so we're coming into the home stretch here. We're wrapping things up, and I wanted to get to it. We had some excellent questions, and I apologize. We're not going to be able to get to all the questions. I'm going to choose at least a couple here. So let me move into that document here. Okay, there's a question from somebody named Caroline. Caroline says, you said that being a human allows us to experience the amazing illusion of separation so we can learn the lessons of tolerance, respect, and compassion. I don't know about beings of other realms or dimensions and how they experience existence, but why is it such a big deal to be a human to experience separation and polarity? I believe that when we die, we see it all and actually get what it was all about. And then we return to source, and then we get to, and then we come back just to experience it all over again. But to what end? When we get it, quote unquote, like Leslie did, then what? I think I don't know why being a human is such a privilege. Are other beings stuck in delusion forever? And what does that mean? I hope you can unpack this question. Okay, so first of all, I chose this question because I think it's a great question. And I mean, they're all great questions, really. Everybody's written in great questions, but I like this one especially. And so I think, Caroline, you're asking, you know, what is the purpose of human incarnation? And why is it such a gift to get to experience separation and polarity in these bodies when it doesn't necessarily feel that way? So you're saying that if we die and then we remember what the purpose is at that point, but then we have to just reincarnate into forgetfulness again and do it all over again anyway, then what's the point? So I hope I got the gist of your question with that. So I guess, you know, I thought about this. The easiest way to answer the question might be to compare the situation to someone who's training for the Olympics. You know, they train their whole life to become an Olympic athlete. And that's many, many years. And they pour their hearts and their souls into the sport. And then when they're at their peak performance, they go, they travel to wherever the Olympics are, and they compete for a medal. And they have so much experience, and they learn so much through all of that. And, you know, just think how extraordinary that is to be able to have the strength and the skills and the control of the physical body that an Olympic athlete has. It's amazing. You watch these people and you just marvel at them. At least I do. And so with all of that knowledge and experience that they've gained by going through the Olympics, when it's all over, then they might get to go off and spend the rest of their lives maybe being a coach and maybe helping other people to compete in the Olympics. And so this is a really different experience, you know, as compared to maybe somebody like us who sits at home on the couch watching the athletes compete while we eat. We watch them on TV. And, you know, maybe we study the sport by reading books about it or seeing pictures of it or, you know, imagining what it might be like to train in the sport. But It's a very, very different experience between doing it and just observing it and knowing about it. So what I would say is that, those of us who have incarnated in human bodies at this absolutely extraordinary time, where there's so much density and where separation and polarization are so extreme, and where there's so much fear, where the fear is off the charts, and you know, where all these challenges exist, we're training for the Olympics. Like, we've chosen this. We've chosen to be in the Olympics. So by doing this over and over and over, many, many lifetimes of this cycle, you know, each time we reincarnate into density and forgetfulness once again, that's our Olympic training. We're building these extraordinary muscles in all the things that we've been talking about today. You know, building muscles in living fearlessly, in witnessing, in loving, opening the heart, keeping the heart open, even when there's adversity. Walking on faith. What else did we talk about? Trusting in the support of the invisible realms. Learning to forgive, transcending victim tyrant consciousness, and the list goes on. I mean, I could go on, but in so many ways, these are the skills that we're mastering, and that translates into absolutely extraordinary soul evolution. So when we graduate from Schoolroom Earth, or whatever you want to call it, from the 3D, from the system of separation, then we can go on, just like the Olympic athlete, you know, we can go on to teach other souls how to master these skills. And, you know, because we've been through what is essentially an Olympics, we have amazing skill and strength, and we might want to be able to teach others. You know, we're told that on the dream plane, a lot of us are out there teaching. We're teaching other souls how to do what we do. Souls not just from this planet, but from other planets. Even multidimensional beings who are masters on other planets, we get to teach them what it's like to be in a body here on Earth and be doing what we're doing. That's why it's so extraordinary. And you know, if we never incarnated, we'd be like the person who's watching the Olympics on TV. We would understand what it's about, but we wouldn't have lived through it. We wouldn't have, you know, learned the difficult lessons, sweated, trained, you know, eventually mastering the sport after all those years of training. And in our case, this is probably for most, if you're listening to this call, my guess is that you've had countless lifetimes of training. And I think further to your question, such a good question, you know, we're told that Earth is a place where the illusion of physical reality is especially real and especially beautiful, more than so many other planets. So what I would say about that is that it's an especially high degree of difficulty to graduate from this planet. It means that the fears and the desires are more extreme and they're more challenging to master. So it might be like an Olympic diver who chooses to do a dive with a very high degree of difficulty so that they have the potential of getting a really high score. It's similar to that, you know. But when we do eventually graduate, like the diver who masters that dive and does it really well, gets a very high score. So when we graduate, we become a very evolved soul. And I can't remember where I heard this, but I've heard it in several places from books by masters or channels who I respect. But we become very sought after as a soul. So other souls, other planetary bodies, they want to know what we know. They want to learn from us based on our experience here on Schoolroom Earth. So we have a wider selection of worlds that we get to choose to go to next, and a wider set of experiences that we can choose from, and so forth. So who knows what we'll choose to do, right? When this is all over, we might, you know, find ourselves in some amazing, extraordinary place where we get to share what we've learned from others. I mean, you know, just imagine that. Just imagine how rewarding that will be. You know, I say that because I know sometimes when we're in the thick of it, in the middle of the density and the fear, and we just think, like your question alludes to, like, what's the point? Like, do I really, really need this? Do I really have to go through this? So I try to remember this bigger picture to give me the incentive that this is not just for me. Yes, it's my own soul evolution, but this is also for others. This is for our own planet. It's for the people. It's for Gaia herself. You know, Gaia is wanting us to wake up. She wants us to become one with her again. She wants us to find our love for her again and our connection and, you know, have that relationship once again that we had long ago. So sorry for pausing. I just, there's more here. I want to say a few more things because you also, in your question, you asked about Leslie. So you're essentially asking about enlightenment. You're saying, what is it like for us after the awakening experience? And so I guess the way I'd respond to your question is to say that what we call enlightenment is actually just a milestone on a journey of evolution that's never ending. So it's a rare experience on this planet. So we do make a big deal about it because there are very few who attain that level of what we call enlightenment. But it's a continuum. It's this continuum. It's this journey that all of us are on. And it doesn't end. Even for the masters who've achieved enlightenment, it doesn't end. We're always evolving. And so I know that Leslie's experience of enlightenment was that essentially she mastered the art of life to the point where she cleared the ego completely. It dissolved completely. And when that happened, she actually left her body. She had an out-of-body experience where she was given the choice to either leave the body for good and leave the planet or to stay and help others. And obviously, she chose to stay and help others. So the spiritual guides gave her what they called a caretaker ego. And that's because everybody on the planet has to have an ego. Even an enlightened person has to have an ego, and it's you know, the ego is just the vehicle. It's just the container that we need to move through life with. So Leslie got one called a caretaker ego that was kind of, the way she described it, was like a very, very minimal, very streamlined, high vibration version of an ego. And so she got to live an entirely new life in the same body with all of her evolution. She got to keep it. You know, without dying and reincarnating and forgetting again and going back into the density, she got to have another life in that body. That, and that's a very rare experience, as I said. And it included a whole different set of experiences and lessons and what have you. And so, so I guess I would say it's like, it would be like a whole other level of Olympic training. Like maybe a cosmic Olympics. I get this image in my mind of, you know, beings from all kinds of worlds bringing their skills forward into an Olympics. Wouldn't that be fun to watch? Anyway, okay, so that's a lot, and we're almost out of time. I hope that helps. Let's do one more quick question. There was another question I wanted to get to here. This is from Claudia P. She says, during these auspicious times, In what country do you see being favorable to live a simple, safe, and kind life from health, political, social, and economical perspective? I would like to ensure I know where to move to keep my family safe. Or do you believe that this is more an internal mind change and every country can be safe, even the USA? So yeah, I get where you're going with this, and that's the truth. I think, you know, if you travel at all, you know, or if you have friends in other countries, you know that every country has its own flavor of shadow, right? There's no place to escape to. We're all going to be exactly where we need to be for the changes that are coming on our planet, and there's nothing to worry about. There's a perfection to that. It's all perfect. And again, it's like you said, it's all about your consciousness. It's not about the place so much as about your consciousness. If you focus on raising your vibration and clearing your consciousness and, you know, doing the things that we talked about on this call, like becoming more fearless and living in love and those sorts of things, then you'll find that you can be in what might normally seem like an unsafe place, but you'll be fine because you're not inviting that in with your consciousness. Maybe other people will be unsafe and affected by it, but you won't be. So it's your consciousness that keeps you safe. And I think that's the bottom line to your question. Any other kind of safety is a false sense of safety. So I would say, in fact, it's the only safety in this world. The only kind of safety in this world is your cleared consciousness. Okay, I could go on, but I think we're almost out of time here. So let's complete for the day. Let's complete with just a quick a prayer and a little very short meditation. We've got a couple minutes here. So I invite you, if you're multitasking, I invite you to stop for just a couple of minutes while we close and just sit quietly. Close your eyes. Take a few long, slow, deep breaths. And I, as you breathe, I want to say I forgot to thank everybody who wrote questions in. I thank you. I read them all, and I'm sorry we don't get to them all. I encourage you to do write in your questions. I'll get to as many as we can. And if I didn't answer your question, you'll get an answer in another way. That's always how it works. Somebody else will give you the answer, or it'll come to you in the dream plane, or something will happen. You'll read it in a book or whatever, or hear it on an audio. Okay, so long, slow, deep breaths. Just relaxing and letting go. Bringing yourself back into the core, into that deep peace that emanates from the core. That beautiful tube of light, the core of enlightenment that is within each one of us, that which we are, the I am, the essence, the love that we are. Let's put our attention right there. Just get quiet. Breathe into it. Breathing in the light and breathing out any tension, any stirring, any negative emotion or thought that this conversation might have stirred up for you. Just breathing all that stuff out. As you sit with this core of light within you, visualize it expanding, getting wider and brighter, until it encompasses your whole body. Feel it stretching out beyond the boundaries of your skin until you see it as a beautiful, luminous, golden white light tube surrounding you. So you're sitting in this beautiful tube of light. And see it going all the way down to the center of the earth and all the way out into formless space, into the cosmos. And just breathe in this beautiful enlightenment, that which you are. It's made of love. It's made of core energy. It's pure awareness. It is who we are. It's our unity consciousness. So feel that unity, feel that love. And as we close our session for today, we offer our gratitude to all the guides and the teachers who surrounded us today, who held us in love and light. And again, this applies even if you're listening in the future. No time and space at that level. I'm speaking in past tense, but it's universal time. So we give thanks for this opportunity to be together in the one heart and the one mind, in love, in the I am, in that which we are. And we send this blessing out to Mother Earth. Let's expand the tube wide enough to include Mother Earth. So the tube we're sitting in becomes as big as the Earth. And we see this golden white light, healing energy, blessing Gaia herself, the planet, and blessing all life forms, all humans, and the rest of the natural world. Blessing everyone. We take this light and love with us into our day today and tomorrow. We carry it with us. We ask, Spirit, that you hold our hands as we walk into our soul's highest purpose, sharing the light and the love with all whom we come into contact with. And we give thanks for the gift of this opportunity, this time, to be in these bodies at this pivotal moment in our evolution. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Alalaho. So blessings, everybody. I love you. And this is always so much fun to get together. I really look forward to next month. We will skip October. So next month will be the last month for a little while because of the course that I'm teaching with Anna Breitenbach in October. But then we'll rejoin again. We'll meet in September and we'll meet in November. So see you in September and hope to see as many of you who would like to join me on the course for the love of animals with Anna. So many, many blessings to everybody. All my love. Bye for now.